Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, for those of you that listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, you know how we do this. Amen. We open up with prayer before we go into the lesson today. So, wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? And let us pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we're grateful today for another opportunity you've given us to assemble together into the Word of God. Therefore, because you are the all-wise one, and you know of all things, and therefore, Lord, none is greater than you. So, Lord God, bless us with the presence of your Spirit and what your Spirit can give unto us is with understanding and knowledge and revelation. For Father, we so desperately need it today. Help us, Lord God, to prepare ourselves the way you told us to be obedient to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. I want to, first of all, say this first thing up first, up front. You know, God has given me, and I have been doing this lately with the broadcasts. To those of you who are first time listeners, those of you not that have been listening on the way, this is once again the word for you, is that first of all, God is speaking a modern day word today, because there are some that are preaching that God spoke back in the days of old and he's not speaking today. Whoever is preaching that, they and whoever is preaching it to you is dead wrong. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And as he spoke in the days of old, he will speak again today. Amen. Praise be to God. The second thing God wants you to know is that he is doing something in these last days. I know many of you are seeing the turmoil that is happening in the nation, in the church, and in the homes. You're seeing evil getting worse and worse, sin getting worse and worse. It looks like the devil is having a heyday and doing whatever he wants to do. And to some of you, the question has come up, where is God? Well, the Lord wants you to know he is doing the work in these last days, which brings me to the third thing, is that he's doing the work in the city of the Elijah. The word of God tells us that Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. It is the promise of Jesus' word to send the Elijah to do a work of restoration. Amen. To prepare a people for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. As spoken in Matthew 17, Malachi 4, he's the messenger in Malachi 3, that prophet mentioned in Deuteronomy 18, and also in Acts chapter 3. Praise be to God. And I want to first mention that unto you. The second thing I want to mention before I go into the lesson today, I know that perhaps those of you who are listening, most of you may have heard, or maybe some of you have not, about one of the well-known basketball, famous basketball players, Kobe Bryant, has died. He died in a helicopter crash today, and it also killed one of his daughters. I think she was maybe the oldest. She was 13. Her name is, I guess you pronounce it, Gianna. But anyhow, I want to say that I was not a Kobe Bryant fan, but I have to say this, that, you know, it really hit me, and it saddened me to hear such a tragedy. Okay. My God. In fact, when I first learned about it today, I saw this guy posted up on YouTube, Kobe passed at 41. I actually thought it was a joke. And I thought that he was saying it because, you know, last night LeBron James passed Kobe Bryant as third on the scoring list of all time in the NBA. And I thought the guy was trying to be funny until I clicked on it and saw that he made a remark that Kobe had died today. And I'm like, is the news reporting this? So I click off what he said, went to find on the news, and I saw it was all over. And one of the things I want to say through that, that it showed me too, and I hope many see that, many think they have, you know, a lifetime to do things. And many times you don't know. Amen. And I have to say this, especially this is a very critical hour. This is why we as believers have to preach the gospel to the people and tell them when they say, well, when do I need to do it? Today is the day that you need to make a decision to accept Christ, you know. And like I said, my condolences go out to him and his family, his wife. I think now he has three remaining daughters. My condolences go out to them, you know, my God, on their loss. You know, and I can just, you know, only can imagine. And just listening to the comments of different players that played with him or against him or coached against him, how it really, you know, devastating. I understand, you know, once again, it kind of surprised me, to be honest with you, but, you know, my condolences go out to him and his family. Amen. Praise be to God. And I ask that you all would pray for the Bryant family also for his wife and his kids on the loss that they suffered. He was 41 years old. And this is our glory. This is why it's very important, because I'm here to tell y'all, people, you know, there was time people look at that, you know, oh, I'm going to get up into the age of getting old in age before I pass on. But if you notice that people are passing, they're dying at the age of 40, 30, 20s, they're dying, okay? And it's very important that the gospel be preached to them, that they have this opportunity to receive Jesus Christ and to go into eternity with peace with the Lord. Because without this, you know, and without accepting Christ as Lord, you can't go into a place of peace. Amen. You know, and it just, like I said, this thing that happened today, you know, it just, even right now, it just still kind of, I don't know if I could use the word feel, but it still even feel kind of strange, you know, because I guess to me, it's like it was all of a sudden. Okay. And I say that to me because I don't know of God's dealings with him. I mean, and what I mean by that, sometimes God may have been dealing with people. We don't know up to a particular point. So, and I just want to, you know, say that. But, you know, I ask that you pray for his family and his loved ones, the Bryant family. Keep them in your prayers. I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30 because, and I think this is very important that we go into the word here, because this is a word of encouragement. Amen. Hallelujah. And very important. I pray that you would give your undivided attention. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30, I'm going to start at verse 1. And the word of God says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people would grieve, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fall recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which was so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. David and his men with him was away from the place of Ziklag, where the women and children were left at the place. The Bible says that while David and his men were away, that the Amalekites, who were the enemies, come in and they had smitten Ziklag and burned it and taken the women. And even though they took them, they didn't kill any of them. They took the women. They took the children. And so when David and them returned, they find the city burned. And they found the women and children gone. I want to speak to those of you Davids out there who been anointed by God to lead, called of God to lead, you know, including the women of God. Now, I didn't say ordained to be pastors, women, but I've seen in the word that women can be given leadership roles by the Lord, such as Deborah, who was a judge of Israel, which means that she was over so many number of people. I want to speak to you, Davids, who are after the heart of God. You know, everybody is not after, quote, the hand of God or what he can give, but there are believers who really are after the heart of God, just to bring a smile to his face. You know, David was like that. Yes, David had flaws. David had shortcomings, okay? But one thing David was, he was quick to repent and he was quick to worship. Okay, because he was a man after God's own heart. I want to speak that to you, Davids, today. Amen. Hallelujah. When David and his men come back, they find the city where their women, their wives, and their children were burned. And they found their women and children missing. And the enemy came in and took them captive. Okay. Amen. And when the enemy took them captive, the men with David are looking about and seeing that their women and children are gone. The Bible said that they got to a point that they lifted up their voices and wept. And they wept so much, they They had no power, more power to weep. In other words, they cried so they couldn't cry no more. The enemy took captive something that was dear to their heart. The Bible tells us that even David himself was distressed because two of his wives were taken captive. Thank you, Jesus. And many times that we find ourselves that when we're out doing, let's say, for the Lord and coming against the enemy strikes and take captive the things that is dear to our hearts. And the purpose is to stress us out, to get us to a point where we take our attention and focus off the Lord and off the things of God until what was taken. And the Bible tells us that the men that was with David, they are so stressed out and so upset about their wives and children being taken, that now they have come to a point. Remember, they cried till they couldn't cry no more. And many times when people cry to where they don't, where they can't cry no more, then comes the flush of anger. And the Bible said they was thinking about stoning David because that which was dear to them was taken. And you will find that there's times that people would, when something is dear to them is taken, they may even begin to turn on you or take their frustration out on you. Sometimes people think that because you are, quote, the leader in this thing, you know, they think that, well, we was working with you and this thing shouldn't have happened and blah, blah, blah. And we out here with you. And wait a minute, you a man of God, woman of God, you supposed to be in tune with God. This isn't supposed to be happening. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes, you know, when God uses somebody, sometimes people see them more and put them up higher in a place that they shouldn't be. And instead of honoring God for using that person, they start looking at that person. And they figure like, well, since I'm hanging out with Brother Nate and God uses him, nothing bad should happen. And so when, quote, something bad happens, they begin to turn on you and get upset with you and say, hey, thought you a man or woman of God. How is this happening to me? I'm out here with you, working with you. This ain't supposed to be happening. Hallelujah. That's why I say it to those of you, Davids, who are listening today, beware of praise. Beware of men putting you up high, because I'm telling you, if you're up there taking in all that praise, as sure as something go bad, the same way they putting you up there, they'll go to try to bring you down. You're going to get blamed. Okay? Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost on that. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible says that When the people became so distressed that they was about to stone David. Now, understand something. When they stoned you back in those days and time, they didn't stone you just to, you know, bust your head and make it bleed or break an arm. When you got stoned with the intent of them killing you. So these men who was with David had developed a spirit to murder David. That's how much anger they was in. And there are those that who've been walking with you in the Lord, and because the enemy is going to mess with certain things in their life dear to them, glory, I sense the Holy Ghost, they're going to develop a spirit to really hurt you. Now, I'm not trying to preach hate. I'm just, this is maybe more of a message of warning. Okay, to beware. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My God. And the Bible says David had to encourage himself. There was no one else around to encourage him. In fact, the people that was with him has just about really turned on him. Now, for some of you listening today, some of you have become very dependent on people. Now, don't get me wrong. In the body of Christ, we're supposed to be a help to one another, but we have to watch also dependency. And when you become dependent, you won't do too much of anything else unless you have somebody. You understand what I'm saying? And the Bible said David had to encourage himself. There's going to come a time in your life that you're going to have other believers around you, and there's going to come a time where there is none of them around you. In fact, the people that are going to be around you are all going to be against you. And you got to come to a point to learn how to encourage yourself. Now, get this. The Bible said, encourage himself in the Lord his God. Not encourage himself in his own strength to believe in himself. You know, I've heard this on Disney Channel for the kids and all that. I noticed that they have the young kids repeating this particular phrase, if you just believe. And so I listen closely, and I'm trying to see where they directing their belief to. And many times they say, if you just believe in yourself, it is not believing in God or believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They always pointing them to believing in themselves. Now, don't get me wrong. That's a certain level of confidence we need to have concerning ourselves. But the overall belief should be in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He did not encourage himself in his own strength, to believe in his own strength and his own way and his own thinking and his own ability and this and that, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. There's going to come a time when you're not going to have no one around to encourage you. You got to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. Say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to make it. In Jesus' name, the Lord is going to deliver me. In Jesus' name, the Lord is going to do this. There comes a time, people. It's going to come. If you haven't faced it yet, keep walking in the Lord and you will. You're going to face it. Hallelujah. And not only did he encourage himself in the Lord, get this, the Bible tells us he went to inquire of the Lord. See, some people, when other people turn on them, they turn on God. Amen. That's why you find some people who was, quote, into the Lord, but when they find out that there were certain people, other fellow Christians, that's going out there doing anything and everything, and they devastate and sin, how they committed sin and everything, all of a sudden they themselves quit serving the Lord. Why? Because of what they see with them who they were once walking with. But David did not let the thing of his own men turning on him, preventing him or stopping him from inquiring of the Lord. He did not let it stop him from believing in Jesus Christ. And see, Satan is out this day to bring up anything to hinder our faith, including people, including causing people to turn on you, people that's dear to your heart, close to your heart, to turn on you and all that. He is out to do that. Why? To hinder your faith. In who? In Jesus Christ. He don't want you to inquire of the Lord of nothing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And he inquired of the Lord, and he got an answer from God. Hallelujah. Amen. He got an answer from God. He didn't just sit around and say, oh, my own men want to kill me. My own men's against me. Listen, there is going to come some, quote, and I put this in quotation marks, shockers probably in your life and dealing with people. I'm just here to warn you on that. And there are going to be some people that once again, who at one time stood with you in the trenches against the enemy. All of a sudden, they're going to become like an enemy. Amen. But you cannot let nothing turn you away from God. Nothing or no one turn you away. You can't let nothing or no one stop you from inquiring of your God. Because Satan already does not want you to get the revelation that you need in order with what you're dealing with. Okay? You think he wanted David to get the answer to come against the enemy that had taken captive the women and children? No. Just like the devil don't want you to get no answers from God. This is why he's got psychics springing up all over everywhere talking about, I got the answer. Because he don't want people getting the true answer from God. He wants the people to get an answer from him because his nature is a lying spirit. And he know he could get them in deception and get them all twisted up if he could get them to depend on answers coming from him. Amen. And so the Bible said the Lord told David to pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fall recover all. In other words, everything the enemy had taken from you, you're going to recover it all. Hallelujah to God. Amen. As Brother Lee said, I like that. Hallelujah. That's the word of God to you, David. God said, go, come against the enemy. And he said, you're going to recover all that the enemy have taken. Okay? Because you going out there and doing the work for the Lord. Because one thing about the devil, when you go out there causing problems in his kingdom, many times he come another way to attack. And I want to say that to also say this. I know that some of you may have listened to us on the broadcast last night, and I brought up this sister named Keshawna Boyd. And as y'all heard, we prayed for her because she did a thing on YouTube yesterday saying, I'm ready to quit. And I saw this a little bit before I had to come on the broadcast last night. And I looked at that title and I said, uh-oh. So I clicked on it. I think I watched it for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or something like that. I didn't see it all. But she was really disturbed. She was really saddened. She was even crying. And she said things like, she always have a prophetic word for people, but she's not hearing a word from God for herself. And then she says people only talk to her when they feel like that she got a word from the Lord for her, for them. And she says she studied pouring into people, but have nobody to pour into her. And you know what? All that what she said, I understood. I understood exactly how she feels. But for those of you that heard or haven't heard, I want to reiterate again, one of the first things that came to me when I heard her talking like that was Pigs of the Parlor. Now, some of you said, what is that? That's a book that teaches about the demonic spirits. And if I'm not mistaken, she had been teaching from that book for a while. In fact, I think, I don't know, she got 11 parts to it, 7 parts to it, something like that. And so seeing this pressure and distress she was under, that was the first thing that came to me, because when you, and I want to say this, there are going to be some things as believers that you're going to speak the word against that's going to be real deep. That's going to draw heavy satanic attack. And see, and some of you that heard us on the broadcast last night heard that, hey, as Christians, we need one another. We need one another. But also we need to be prepared when we're about to venture on such a thing. Just like I gave y'all an example about myself. When I did the series on the Mason, on the Masonic Order, on the Illuminati, on the sororities and fraternities, I faced heavy demonic attack. And that attack came in contention. One time, I remember it was 3 straight days in a row of heavy contention. And I remember I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what is this? And the Lord said to me, you know what this is about. And I said, my God. And I'm grateful for the prayers of my sister and brother, the Andersons, Brother Eddie Lee. I remember before I had announced to him before I was going to go there, he said, brother, we need to pray. You need to cover yourself, because he knew that I was going into some deep trenches. This ain't nothing about giving the devil the glory, so don't get this confused. I want some of y'all here to say, oh, you just glorify the devil. No. But here's the thing. You cannot take things lightly. And as Christians, you must understand that there's some things, some deep things, that has to be addressed. And God is looking for believers who are saying, yes, Lord, send me. Send me with the word of life. So those who are deep in those trenches in the bondage of Satan, whom he has taken captive, can be delivered. Because some of us as Christians, we want to get this. We want to stay hid in the closet. We want to stay hid in the corner. And then some of the other Christians who are letting God use them to speak concerning those deep things, the Christians that are hiding in the corner are persecuting them. Amen. The Bible tells us that after David got a word from the Lord, a word of direction, a word of confirmation, a word of promise, that the 600 men that were with him came to the brook called Besor, where the Bible said, where those that were left behind stayed. And the Bible tells you a little bit about those who left behind. Out of the 600, 200 of them was left by the brook Besor. Why is that? Because the Bible said that they were so faint that they could not go over the brook. Listen, when you're going into warfare against the enemy, and you are exposing those deep things of the enemy, every believer is not going to be able to take that journey with you. Every believer is not ready to go into those deep trenches. So 200 of the 600 men had to stay at the brook because they couldn't go no further. That's as far as they can go. And some believers are not prepared yet to go even deeper. That's why as leaders in Christ, we got to be careful what we are, what other believers, what we're leading them into. Because some believers are not ready to go into the deep trenches. And so you must understand, to go into those deep trenches, you got to go through teaching and training in the word of God before you tackle it. See, one of the things that some have done wrong is they try to tackle these deep things without the teaching and training in the word of God. And therefore, the devil throws a sink at them, knocks them down, and they're ready to give up on Christ completely. Amen. Now, when you read the rest of this story, those that stay behind, David wasn't mad at them because that's as far as they could go. Okay? So they stayed behind and watched some of the stuff that was there with them. Because when David and them finally defeated the enemy and they took the spoil, those 400 men, some of the 400 men that were with them, when they were about to, you know, give back from the spoil they got, those 400 men start talking about the men that couldn't get past Besor and said, hey, they don't need to get none of that. We got it. David said, oh, yeah, yes, they do. Because they went as far as they go, and they did their job guarding the stuff at this place at Besor. Okay? So they entitled to it just like we are. Okay? Some people is not ready. They're not ready. They can go as far as they can go. Okay? Amen. And see, God is going to show you those who can go further with you and those who are not ready. He's going to show you. Because understand this, when you're going against the enemy, this is not a game. It's not a game. Amen. Just like that's why I don't agree with Tyler Perry when he did all that mocking the mocking tongues thing. See, the purpose of when he did that is to make the things of God to cause people to take it for lightly, take it for granted. No, this thing is serious. And when you come against the enemy, you can't come against him joking and playing. You can't come against him with your achievements here on earth. Talking about you a professor. A professor don't mean nothing to demons. You don't go against him. Listen, I'm a professor and I got 8 degrees. What you think they're going to do to them? You think they're going to go, ooh, and just start shaking and saying, we better not touch you because you are a professor with 8 degrees. They ain't got nothing to do with that. This thing is serious. And for you to get back what the enemy has taken to you, take it from you, you're going to have to go into the trenches. But first of all, before you go against him, remember what David did. He got a word from the Lord. That's the other thing you got to learn. Some things, don't you get in it unless God give you the word. You know, when I did that on the Masonry and Illuminati, I prayed first. Because I knew in my spirit that this was a deep issue. And I didn't want to go into something that God does not have my back, that God has not authorized me. Because I know if I do it, I'm in some serious trouble. You understand what I'm saying? And you got some believers, they got this very prideful spirit and think, because I'm a believer, and they just can run anywhere. Someone would see a house full of witches say, let's go in there and cast the devil out them witches. Well, if God didn't send you up in that house, I advise you not to go. You know, Moses told the children of Israel, when God told him, said, you're not going to go in the promised land because you have provoked God these, 10 times. They still going to try to go up and get the land anyhow. And Moses warned him. He said, don't go there. God is not with you. And then, well, we're going to go and get the land because the land. And they try. And guess what? Guy whooped up. Okay, got whooped. And that's what's happening to some Christians. They're going into places or going into certain battles that God has not authorized them, and the devil has whooped up on them. Now, not only is they've been whooped up by the devil, now they want to throw both hands and both feet and call it quits with Jesus. We prayed for Sister Boyd last night because, like I said, I understand how she feel. Listen, every last one of us is Christians, whether you want to admit it or not. I'm not telling you to call in, admit it to me or whatever. You ain't got to. At some point in your walk with Christ, you got tired. You got tired. You can say what you want to say. At some point, you got tired. And you needed more strength. You needed a refreshing. Let me put it that way. You needed a refreshing from the Lord. Whether someone to speak a prophetic word in your life, whether God to speak to you in your spirit personally, whether for him to come into a dream and speak a word to you in a dream, you needed a refreshing because you got tired. Sometimes you got tired of people turning on you, or you got tired of people talking to you, talking about you, or you got tired of people just depending on you and they won't do nothing themselves. You got tired of all y'all supposed to share in a particular responsibility, and then they wouldn't show up and leaving everything on you. You got tired of it, and God had to give you a refreshing. That's why I understand what the sister talking about. Amen. And I saw she was crying on there. I know, and I felt that for her. Because I understand. My God, sometimes, man, let's be real. I ain't going to tell you no story. There have been times I said, Lord, where are you? Jesus, I need some help here. Hallelujah. You know, and we prayed for her. We prayed that she would continue on. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord just witnessing to me strongly. Because she had been declaring, I have been listening to her off and on at times. She had been speaking on some there's been some deep things she had been speaking on, okay? Now, I know it's not some of your average things she's speaking on. Some of us as Christians, we want to just speak the average stuff. We want to speak the stuff that make everybody smile and pat us on the back. Well, guess what? Long as you're walking in Jesus, you can cancel that order, because you're going to, at some point, speak the word of God that's going to step on some toes, some fingers, that's going to cause some eyes to roll, some heads to roll and all that. You're going to do that eventually. And if you're not ready to face confrontation, and if you don't want no, quote, confrontation, well, guess what? You are in, quote, the wrong line of business, because it's going to happen. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to love you. Everybody's not going to be ready to receive you. Everybody's not going to want you to come to their place. Some people, when you come around, they're going to scatter like you're a disease. That's going to happen. David made sure before he went up that he got a word from the Lord. Make sure whatever battle you're going in against the enemy, make sure you got a word from the Lord. David says, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? The Lord answered, pursue, for you shall overtake. You know, it's nothing like a refreshing word or a word, glory, come from the Lord. When you are in a situation where the enemy has taken that which belongs to you, and you're facing, in the midst of all that, people who are supposed to be with you turning against you. It's nothing like, you know, a word from the Lord. I've seen that when that happened in my life and I get a word from the Lord, it brings such a refreshing to my spirit that I can't describe how much joy it brings. And you can imagine with David. Here your own men ready to put the end to you, David. They're ready to put you down. Okay? You had to encourage yourself in the Lord. And then you turn your face to get a word from the Lord. I'm here to tell you, Davids, that's what it's going to take in these last days. Oh, God, we don't have time to waste like some of us may think. I wanted to give you this word today, and I don't know, you know, the Spirit of the Lord was dealing with me about it. This may have been a message of warning for some of you. This may be a message of confirmation for some of you. Maybe some of you are already in your Ziklag. You're already in that place where there's been things taken from you that belongs to you, taken by the enemy. And that people who was with you or walking with you is now developing a spirit to turn against you. And they don't want to just do you harm. They want to destroy you. Could you imagine? You got some that walking with you, love your brother, love your sister, and all of a sudden they turn to a spirit that not only do they just dislike you, you can tell that they really wants to put you down. I mean, kill you, destroy you, completely bring you to ruin. Okay. Amen. And that happens. That happens. Because see, everybody that claiming Lord, Lord is not of the Lord. And everybody that's claiming Lord, Lord is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I got to be real about it. Okay. No, ain't no need of me lying to you about it, making up something. I got to be real about it. Everybody's not going to in the end, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need to keep this in mind. Amen. Once again, this message to you, Davids. Those of you who is after God's own heart. Like I said, you know, it's very important. That you keep this in mind. I think about this even in dealing with myself. Like I said, I think about concerning the sister yesterday. Like I said, I really, you know, I've seen where I think, I don't know, couple of days or so before she posted the last thing that she said she had a sinus infection or something, and she was supposed to go on, but she didn't go on. And then next day I know yesterday I see that right there. And that's why we need one another in Christ. And you know, she do need someone in Christ to help, you know, pour into her, because you know what? We all at a point, you know, we need one another, frankly. You know, just to be straight about it, we need one another. And sometimes when it is, when you're ministering to people, sometimes you need ministering to yourself. So like I said, I understand where she's coming from. But I think that from what happened with her yesterday, and I think some of y'all heard me report about a week or two ago when she had that experience with that demon on the other end of the phone when she was praying for that lady, and that demon manifests itself. And like I told y'all how really shook up she was, I think now she's starting to see, because she was still... She was also still teaching on pigs of a parlor. I think she has seen now how deep of the ground she went on concerning the enemy. And I just, you know, we pray for her that she don't give up. That she don't give up. Because every believer is not standing against the devil like he should. Like I said, some of us are hiding in the trenches, want to stay in the background. And the devil can smell the fear on us. And he says, I ain't got to worry about her or him. In fact, I ain't got to worry about them coming against me. And then, in fact, if I want to do something to them, I have them running. Well, that's just how it is. And I've seen in my life personally, like I shared the testimony with you all back here about a couple weeks ago, that I saw some things in my life where I said, Lord, help me concerning fear. Help me to overcome. Because, you know, fear, if we don't watch it, man, it'll have a grip on you, man. Your heart will start racing. You can't think straight. You know, you hope a certain thing don't come about. You know, all that. But I'm even learning more myself. And I'm learning more how to depend on the Lord. So, you know, for those of you that's in your Ziklag, David, remember, encourage yourself in the Lord. Seek your God. Don't let people who was once walking with you in Christ, who has turned on you now, don't let them stop you from seeking your God. Don't let them stop you from encouraging yourself in the Lord. Even if you don't have them to encourage you, you encourage yourself in the Lord. And remember, in the Lord, your God. Amen. Many times you have to speak the word to yourself. Now, see, that's one of the reasons why we study the word, to know what to speak to ourselves. Amen. Now, I'm going to patch my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Blessings to you, brother. How are you?
I'm blessed, brother. How you doing?
Doing wonderful.
Amen. Good to hear from you this day. Once again, I have been talking to the people, to the Davids who are in the Ziklag, and how to not let anyone cause you not to encourage yourself in the Lord and to not pursue your God. And this message, the Lord was dealing with me on this. I didn't know which way or which route I needed to go tonight. And where he had me presenting this message, it could have been a message of warning. Could have been a message of confirmation. But, you know, there are going to be people who once walked with you in the Lord. When the enemy takes something dear to their heart, just like the women and children were taken here, they are going to develop a spirit where they're going to turn on you. And they're going to want to really hurt you. I mean, when they stoned you back in the days, like I said, they didn't want to just cut your head open or break an arm. You got stoned with the intent of being killed, period. Okay, that's why, quote, we threw stones at you. Because the purpose is we got to throw as many as we can that got the job done. And so when these men was about to turn the stone him, that means they wanted to kill David. They were so grieved, okay?
Yeah.
There are some going to be walking with you, but when the enemy takes something that's dear to their heart, glory, they're going to be so grieved that they're going to start operating in the spirit where they'll turn on you. And, you know, some people can start looking at you, brother, and they say, well, I'm with Brother Kevin. I thought you was in tune with God. This don't supposed to be happening to me, you know. And so who they going to look to blame? You, you know. They're going to look at you and say, I thought you was in touch with God. I thought you've been fasting 30 days, you know. How is it I'm going out here with you? Because you can imagine these men. You can imagine they're thinking, man, David, we out here running out with you. Concerning the enemy, we lead the fort unprotected. We come back, and because of running out here with you, our women and children go. Okay? So, hey, we got to vent out our frustration on something. And the Bible said they weep so until they had no more power to weep. They cried till they couldn't cry no more. And, brother, you know that many times when the weeping is over with, here comes the intense anger. Because when you can't cry till you can't cry no more, then there comes some intense anger. And you can see that intense anger come. But I did let them know that some people is only going to be able to go so far with you. That's why out of the 600 men, only 400 went with him to fight the enemy. 200 stayed by the brook Besor because the Bible said they became so faint they couldn't go no further. And David wasn't mad at them. That's just that that's how far they can go. Some people cannot go into the deep trenches with you against the enemy. They're not prepared. Okay? They're not prepared to go. Okay? You got to have the teaching and training in the Word of God before you tackle certain things, okay? And that's why when I did the series on the Masonic Order, Illuminati, I prayed first. Like David prayed, got a word from the Lord. Lord, should I pursue? Shall I go up? The Lord said, go up. He got a word from the Lord. Brother Lee and them prayed for me. Sister Anderson and Brother Anderson prayed for me, you know? And brother, I needed it because when I was doing that series one time, 3 straight days of contention. Brother got so bad, I said, Lord, what is this? He said, you know what it's about. I said, my God. Amen, brother. So I want to let you get a chance to speak in on that.
Well, brother, you know, you're absolutely right. So, like I say, some people can only go so far. You know, to look at dope brothers. I know that, you know, Paul had many that were friends and enemies of him in the gospel. You know, and the thing about it is we all really can't rely on someone else's journey, someone else's experience. Because when it comes to seeking the Lord, you know, we have to seek him for empowerment. You know, and that's what his grace is. Grace don't just mean to, you know, to cover you with love and make sure you're fine. Grace means to be a power, you know. And this is what's going to be. This is what is needed for the race that we are to that we are to run. You know, I look at some recent news headlines, and you know, oftentimes people they stop. They question. They wonder why certain things. Well, you know, just like when God told Lot to leave that city. You got to be in the place to hear God for yourself, where his wife wanted to turn around. You got to have a made-up mind yourself.
Right.
You can't rely on somebody else's testimony, somebody else's experience, somebody's amount of years that they've been in the Lord. You have to rely on that direct connection between you and God for yourself, because you may be the one that has to carry them.
Right.
So, you know, this, and this is why it's so important they connect. This is why it's so important. You know, and God is calling us every day. God is speaking, saying, come closer. Come closer. Come closer. Come out of that. Come away from this. Come out of that. And it's for a purpose, because he knows. You know, I was just reading a book, just started reading a book about this pilot experience in heaven, and the things that he were allowed to see there. I'm quite sure he didn't see a quarter of what, you know, heaven is like. But I'm telling you, in that experience, he said that a lot of the people that he deeply relied, it wasn't that they were wrong. They were incorrect about it. They were incomplete about a lot of things. And so God brought him clarity in his walk. You know, just like Ananias and I mean, just like Apollos and Priscilla, you know, they had to teach the word more perfectly, you know. So we don't know who God is going to have us minister to. We don't know who God is going to have us carry our prayers, to carry our strength, to carry. And that's why we have to stay the course and allow God to order our steps and allow him to be our strength. When you start trying to do it on your own, you'll know when you start trying to do it on your own. Because I'm telling you, you're going to feel the effects of it. But when you allow him and his peace, you know, one thing that God showed me about peace, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, but one thing he showed me about peace, peace is your daily bread. It is your daily bread. And if God was to give us peace all at one time, we'll walk right away from it. So he does this as a reminder to keep us connected. He wants us to stay connected to him, because we need that hookup. We need that source. We need a source of grace, that empowerment that's going to cause us to endure to the end.
Brother, you're definitely right, because I see this hour that we in, that, brother, we're going to have to be prepared for what's about to come. Our brothers and sisters in the other countries, they are already facing the highest level of persecution for carrying the gospel's sake. I mean, they're getting beheaded. Some of them getting beaten over there. They're getting killed for the gospel's sake. Not for their gender or their color, but for preaching Christ. And we're over here in America, we're still spoiled, because we're trying to show everybody that the God life is having Bentleys and big houses. So we got preachers of whatever, L.A., Atlanta, all of them, you know, and we're trying to show this particular thing. And we're not really preparing the people for the exercising of your faith to the fullest. You understand what I'm saying? We just telling them about faith, quote, for cars, and faith for, quote, houses, and faith for money. But the exercising the fullest of your faith to trust God at the point of the danger that you're facing. And we have yet to prepare them. And it's coming this way. And, you know, you're dealing with an enemy who wants to break you completely, and who wants you to renounce Jesus totally, okay? And once again, there are some places of battle that every believer is not prepared for. But we need to get ready, because as a Christian, if you think you're just going to present the soft, quote, gospel, or the everybody loves you gospel, then you're sadly mistaken. There are going to be some deep things, and God is looking for the people that says, yes, Lord, send me. And I trust in you to keep me. And this is not no renegade message. This is a message where, you know, I see what's happening, brother. And God told us to study. He told us to prepare. He told us about man should always pray and not faint. And we ignored it. And we just gone on through the life right now thinking that, oh, well, Jesus loved me. And then it's come up. He's going to do something. Man, it's going to be some eye openers in these last days. I mean, it's going to be some eye openers, brother.
Yeah, yeah. Brother, I agree, and I think the world is already seeing those. Before anything happens, it always happens in the spirit first. There has been a trump that's been blowing for a while that, you know, we may or may not have been paying attention to. And I've seen a vision years ago. It was a bright, sunny day. I saw people going to the beach. I saw people traveling in their drop-top cars. The sun was out shining bright, and everybody was just going about their day and their lives, you know, with not a care in the world, just enjoying life. And I saw an angel come, and he started blowing this trumpet. And I was confused as to what this was about. He said, this is a warning of judgment. And I was perplexed about, look at the people. You know, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. See, and I think in the busyness of life, we forget about some things. You know,
yeah.
we forget about the Lord. We forget about his promise. You know, it highlights that in Peter. He said, well, you know, they're going to start saying, well, Jesus ain't came in all this time. Where is the promise of him coming? You know, well, since our fathers fell asleep, you know, I guess, you know, all the promises must have been lost as well. So people are going to start, you know, falling back into an attitude of, well, you know what? I don't even really believe the validity of the Bible anymore. But the Bible said, but the day of the Lord shall come.
Yeah.
Where the elements of the earth will melt away with a fervent heat. His word is still valid today as when he first spoke. And we have to have that constant reminder every day. We need prayer, one for another. We need encouragement, one for another. To stay in the battle, stay in the fight, hold on to the Lord. There's going to be things that's going to come, that's going to be a blow to your life. But God's going to test you to see who you love most. To see if the stand that you talk about when you're on the mountain and everything is going great, can you still stand with him and say and declare who he is when you're in your valley? When it seems like there's nothing, when it seems like everything is going to fall apart, when it seems like everything just fell apart. And God wants us to be prepared daily. He wants our hearts to be anchored and rooted in him, because the days ahead, it's going to get more and more severe. We may not see it now. We may not feel it now. We may not think it's even going to happen. But name one word that has failed that God has spoken. If he spoke it, it's surely going to come to pass.
Amen. And you're definitely right about that, brother, because, you know, these are the days. And then, you know, the Lord just, you know, as of late just been showing me this. This is a critical hour. This is a critical time where that, it's not a time for playing. It's a time to get priorities in order. And, you know, with some Christians, the devil just got wrapped up in all of this and that. Some is in such great bondage, don't know what to do. And You know, I looked at, you know, even in the Church of Christ the Last Message, where there's a wars among one another. You know, instead of us going out and giving the word to people who needs that word to be delivered, we're not preparing like we should. And I just keep sensing in my spirit and seeing the time of the things that is happening now that, hey, the high time is now, you know. It's the time is now. The time is, you know, man, I mean, I can't stress it enough to a point of what's going to be going on. And like you said, you know, we're going to be tested to see that, can we just still declare the same while we was on the mountain when we're down in the valley? And there's going to come a time where people who once was with you is going to turn away. And you got to be like David. You got to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. You know, you got to, because we can't let nothing, where the Lord said, let nothing destroy your faith. You know, and that's some very strong, deep words there. He said, don't let nothing destroy your faith. Nothing means no thing or no one, okay? Destroy your faith. And see, we're in that hour right now where we're being tested on that area. You know, that whatever you proclaim, you're going to be tested in it. You know, you say you believe the Lord God, you're going to be tested in it. And I could just imagine, you know, David with his men, and now all of a sudden he's looking at these men, got this look in their eye, that we want to do some serious damage to you, David, because we so mad that the enemy and took our wives and children, we got to have somebody to take it out on. We got to have somebody to blame, you know. And instead of us being full focused to come against the enemy and get them back, we see you right here, and you the one next in line who we can blame, okay? But see, David, once again, he did not let people who's about to turn on him stop his connection with him and God. Amen? He didn't let that happen. And so that is a message and lesson today. For those of you in your Ziklag, listen. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Get a word from the Lord while you're in there too. Amen. And remember, God is going to bless you with some that's going to go fully with you against the enemy. But those who can't go, he's going to have them at a particular place in connection with you. Amen. So, brother, I want to give you a final word. And if you would, close us out with prayer.
Amen. Brother, I believe that, you know, I know that sounds kind of redundant, where people have been saying the same things about God and nothing. All they said is last. They said this is a year versus this year. They said this and they said that. But I'm telling you, as we stay diligent, as we weary not in well-doing, this is what God is testing our endurance. As we run this race, it's going to take endurance. You're going to have bumps in the road. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been in the faith. You're going to have bumps in the road.
Yeah.
And when those bumps come, can you hurdle those bumps? But trying to do it in your own strength, it's not going to work. You need him. So you have to stay connected to him. You have to stay connected to the Lord in these times. Whether we have trouble in our life or whether we feel like everything is going, it's going fine, we have to stay connected to him and to his promises that he's promising. Amen. So with that being said,
Amen.
I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you that you are faithful.
Lord.
Thank you that you are God that is concerned with us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us, Lord, even when we're unlovable, you still show your undying, unfailing love for us, Lord. And our mood, our being is because of you. We live, we move, we have our being because of you, Lord. We owe everything
yes.
to you. We owe our hearts to you. We owe our dedication, our devotion solely
yes,
to
Lord.
You, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you right now, Lord, that you're faithful, Lord, even when we're not. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that Lord, our day, Lord, ahead, Lord, that you have ordered our steps. And Lord,
yes, Lord,
and you know, Lord, the grace that we need that is sufficient. You said that your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. And Lord, so tonight, Lord, we just receive your grace, Lord,
yes,
wherever
Lord.
We may go, whatever we may encounter, Lord, that we will stay the course, that we will remain, Lord, in your lane, that we will remain with you, Lord. And Lord, that you would strengthen us, Lord, strengthen our minds, strengthen our spirits, Lord Jesus, and make us ready for the days ahead, Lord Jesus. For you said greater trials await the church and the nation. So, Lord,
yes,
as you prepare us, Lord Jesus, Lord, to pour into us, Lord, help us to understand your plan and your will, even when we don't understand, Lord, to hold on
yes.
to him with your God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for you, brother. Appreciate you coming on tonight. Truly indeed is a blessing, and it really was a outstanding and blessing program and broadcast tonight. Thank God for you, and may the Lord continue to bless you in Jesus' name. Praise be to God. And for those of you that have been listening, don't forget tomorrow night, Lord say the same, Brother Emmanuel Murphy should be on. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. Praise be to God. So, thank God for all of you from Brother Nate and Brother Kevin Bruce. We love you all. God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm.